Today, I'll be reading from Jeremiah. I know normally sometimes they tell you what page it's on in the Pew Bible. That's one of the things I screwed up. I didn't write that down. You'll just have to trust me and the Galleon City School education that I have that I get the words right. A reading from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29. Verses 1 and continuing in verse 4 through verse 7. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare.
The following is a letter that came to the church this week. It starts, "Dear Daughter Church, I know this is unexpected, an ancient prophet writing to you, First United Church of Christ in Galleon, Ohio. What is probably even more unexpected is that I call you daughter. While you might know of my writings, you don't know me personally. I do know many things about you, though. For I've observed many of the same things you are going through in the people of God before, in my time, in another community of people who I lovingly referred to as Daughter Zion, a personification of a once proud nation and city. Many of your modern scholars debate about whether the church in the 21st century can qualify as being in exile, quote unquote. Walter Brueggemann, Lee Beach, David Condon, Michael Frost, and others. I've enjoyed digesting their thoughts and opinions. While it's true your physical characteristics between your time and my time are completely different, I mean, no one has conquered your land, no one has destroyed your place of worship, yet there are still many similarities in the attitude between our circumstances. The change in your society, dear daughter, has been going on around you, and you find yourself in a different place than you used to be. Within your memory, dear daughter, your religion occupied a place of prominence and influence within your community. To be frank, this is no longer the case. Yes, your ministers still pray in public places and events, like city council, in a baccalaureate, but the hold that religion has over society is a product of a bygone age where the majority of people believed what you here, sitting here today, believe. If it feels as if the world has changed to you, it has changed. If you find yourself living in a world that seems increasingly foreign to your worldviews, even at times hostile, it's not entirely your imagination. Now, I have not set foot within your walls, I have not been to your gatherings, but I think I know what is going on within. You often lament about a time when there were more people here, when there was more involvement, more resources, more activities. You often fondly recollect those days and are nervous and anxious about your future together. Is this true? It sounds very familiar to me. In my day, it's our human nature, when met with resistance from anybody, to recoil inwards. And when we're losing what we once had, to seek to stop the flood and stem the losses. When we are challenged and even condemned because of our beliefs by society around us, to kind of strike back even and condemn in turn. Yet, I would encourage you to resist these tendencies. Long ago, I advised the people of Judah, who were taken away to a foreign land in Babylon, to build homes there, plant gardens, start families. In a very different place, a place they didn't want to be. I told them to even seek the welfare of the city that they were in, because where they were, if they sought their welfare, they will find their own welfare. And so I tell you not to recoil within your walls, but to engage with your community around you. Yes, absolutely. Teach the younger generation. Seek to pass on your faith, to place it upon their minds and hearts, so that they will treasure it like you will, like you do. But also communicate to the world outside of you. Tell them that God loves them and God welcomes them with open arms, and God will forgive them. Don't assume that they know what goes on within your walls. Many do not. Don't assume that they know what your church is like. Many do not. You have something good to share. It's a treasure. So share it. Tell them about the radical hospitality and love of our God. Secondly, don't be so afraid to lose what you have that you don't take any chances and make changes that are needed. The past isn't going to come back. In order to once again have a vital and relevant community of faith, you must move on to where God is leading all of you as a group. Your church isn't meant to be a museum of nostalgia for its members. It is meant to be a place that serves everyone who enters with food for the journey of life. Third, things are not that bad. You might bemoan the way the world is. You might bemoan how there used to be more. But the world is not the enemy. There are good things happening out there if you are open enough to see them. God can use people who are not in your circle of friends, who do not have the same faith as you do, for good. God can even be able to use the secular and foreign emperors of my day, the Babylonians and the Persians. They used those people for good, and believe me, if God can use Nebuchadnezzar and those other guys for good, God can use many others. God can do this in your time, in this century, and in your place as well. Finally, remember that God hasn't abandoned you. God is still with you. God stands with you. God is on your side. And God will lead you into a place and will take care of your children and grandchildren long after you are gone. God is faithful to all generations. Many in my time believed that it was all over, that God was not there for them. But that was not true. It lived on. It changed. It transformed. But it lived on. The church institution, your institution, may look different. It probably will look different, yes. But God will not stop gracing his people, engaging the people, serving the people. God calls you to do the same, to invest in your community, to plan for a future, put down roots, plant gardens, seek to influence those around you for good. Seek to influence them and turn them towards God. This place of exile that you feel yourself in can become a garden for God if you are patient, if you are faithful to God's will and ways. The people of God have survived many, many things. Bad things, slavery, exile, persecution, and have grown to become you today. The wisdom of the prophets, the saints, the example of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit are with you, dear daughter church. Sincerely, Jeremiah.